Good morning. I'm not going to ask you to pray for the Cubs, but I'm just saying it. The current state, good news, the problem, and homework. Those are the four things on my mind this morning as we gather. First, the current state. The current state of which our first reading takes place is during the Israelites' trek through the wilderness. It's the trek that's being made after Moses had delivered them from Egypt, a time of bondage and slavery. It's after the time of Mount Sinai, and it's on their trek as they make their way through the wilderness or the desert to the promised land of Canaan. And Moses is their leader. He is at the helm of 600,000 people. Imagine trying to lead 600,000 people. Imagine the drama with 600,000 people. Not everyone getting along all the times. They had their fair share of hiccups. Their spouts of disobedience were well documented. And Moses, as a leader, is just there trying to navigate all this. And just prior to where our first reading picks up today, which is in about halfway through the 11th chapter of Numbers, the first half of the chapter, Moses, in this moment of vulnerability, he gets to the point where he turns to God and he says, "I don't think I can do this. Like, it's too much. I can't carry the load of these 600,000 people." He even goes on to say, "Lord, if this is the expectation, like if this is what it's going to be like, then put a fork in me. I'm through. I'm done." And so God acts. How God acts in just a minute. The current state of our parish. As of Friday, when I asked their secretary, we have 3,679 registered families. We have over 13,000 people. It's a lot of people. It's not 600,000, but it's still a lot. And over the first year as a priest, I'd be lying if I told you at times I didn't make that same gripe to God as Moses did. "Lord, how are Father Don and I supposed to care for 13,000 people?" We can. Studies show that one person can adequately pastor, meaning to adequately care for all the spiritual needs of a person, for roughly around 200 people. That isn't me standing up here, you know, looking for sympathy, like, "Oh, poor Father Mark," right? Like, looking for that. It's not the goal. It's not what I'm looking for. For one, because you're probably drowning more than we are. I know that because you talk to me. Life just keeps getting busier. And then you throw children on top of that, running here and running there. It's a lot. And I'd even have to bet that there's some here this morning making that same plea as Moses. "I don't know if I can keep doing this." And the problem with that 13,000 number that I mentioned is that 13,000 people don't come here on the weekend. There's maybe 3,000 people of that 13,000 that come here on a weekend. And not just the 13,000 number, but even far more reaching than that, outside these walls, as that's the name of the game, as Father Don and I have mentioned that from this pulpit, that's the purpose of the church. That's the reason we exist, is for those that are not here. That's why we exist. The good news is that God is incredibly generous with his spirit. God hears Moses' cry. He has Moses gather up 70 elders, and the Lord sends his spirit down upon them, and they are in a miraculous way able to care and minister to all 600,000 people. And we may be sitting here thinking, well, that's a cute story way back then. But same is the case today, here, but actually to such a greater degree because of where we're at in the course of salvation history, that is post the resurrection, post Pentecost. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, the Holy Spirit has been poured into your heart. The prophet Joel in the Old Testament prophesies that there will be a time where God will pour out his Spirit upon all people. To do what? To know God, to know that he's good, to create a newness, to set prisoners free in this community who may be struggling with addiction, to heal the brokenhearted in this community, to counsel, to heal. The Holy Spirit is known as the gift giver. So every single person in this church this morning possesses charisms or spiritual gifts, which are gifts given to us from God for us to use for others at this particular time, at this particular place. So as I look out here right now, there is an abundance of raw potential and power in this church right now to do nothing short than to change the world. This community at OLM to change the world. That's what God wants from us. So why don't we see this? Why don't we see this manifestation? That's where the problem comes in. The reality is that these gifts are not realized in a great number of us here. For a great number of us, I'm talking the 3,000 number, right? The 3,000, those of us that have come here, the Holy Spirit is dormant. One reason that might be is that for those of us who never have had a personal encounter with Jesus, like we've never had an experience of the Holy Spirit in our lives, knowing that he lives in me like the Spirit does, then he wants to use me and what he wants for my life. And you may be thinking here, thinking, Father Mark, what the heck are you talking about? I was baptized, right? I was confirmed. The Spirit's in me. We confirm in a few hours at 3 o'clock, 60 teens. Bishop Conlon will be here. This church will be packed with relatives. And as I, last Sunday, as I finished the 5:30 Mass, and I greeted the people, and as I was heading off to Alpha for teens, there was the practice for confirmation, and I saw the line of people waiting to come in, our confirmandi, as well as many of their parents and sponsors. And to be honest with you, the majority of them I never see. I never see them, I never see their parents, ever. And I'm not satisfied with that. We're not satisfied with that. Especially as just yesterday morning, another young person told me that right now he's got 5 friends that are starving to find and to know what the meaning of their life is. And when I say starving, I mean dying to know. Whether they've been admitted into Linden Oaks or struggling with deep depression, with wondering, why do I live? What's the meaning? And I'm not satisfied because I'm convinced that Jesus is the answer to everything that those 5 people are looking for, of what they're starving for. Jesus is everything for which you and I are looking for. It's why we offer things like Alpha here, and we'll be offering a lot more for Alpha. Alpha is a great way to foster a life-changing encounter with Jesus. As we say, sacraments, as I've said a number of times up here, sacraments are not magic. We will confirm 60 teens this afternoon. And we may think, well, get them confirmed, they'll come around. It's not necessarily the case, as we're seeing more and more. And so just as when we come every week and receive the Eucharist, it's not magic. Meaning our disposition when we receive him matters to the extent that I allow his power, which is God, to come in me and to maybe even heal me on the spot when I receive him. Our disposition and our faith matters when we receive. It's not magic. The Eucharist isn't magic. Confirmation isn't magic. As Father Don mentioned a couple weeks ago about the sacramental conveyor belt, that we kind of just want to stop. Because the sacramental conveyor belt that's been running, what is that conveyor belt producing? If it's not producing disciples, people who know Jesus, then we just want to stop it. And what that means and what that looks like right now for us, we don't know. But like I said, if it's not producing disciples, we want to stop it. The other component of the problem that our readings, it seems to me, that suggests that our readings want us to consider is that if you or I ever wonder at times, why does it seem that God doesn't speak to me? It would be a wise move to ask ourselves if there is sin in my life that I have not confronted. Sin is incompatible with the presence of God's Spirit. Meaning if you or I have sin in our lives that we don't address, like conscientiously, I know it and I'm not addressing it, it cripples us from allowing the Holy Spirit to work in my life. It prohibits me from knowing that God has put his Spirit in me and it dwells in me. And not only that, he's given me gifts that he wants me to use to reach the 13,000. But if we just make up our own theology, which we have a tendency to do at times, it's okay if I miss Mass here and there. It's okay with this. And we can just make up our own theology. The question to ask is, well, what does God say about it? That's why the psalmist today in our psalm says, cleanse me from my unknown faults, Lord. It's why Jesus in the gospel today says, do whatever it takes. If there is any obstacle that keeps you from my kingdom, root it out, address it. If there's anything that's keeping you from it, give it attention. Cut off the impediment. So lastly, our homework. The Holy Spirit's on the move here. It is. But imagine what this parish would look like if everyone here is using their gifts, the spiritual gifts, charisms that God has given them. If everyone was eagerly pursuing their spiritual gifts, what would this place look like? It would be wild. I get the sense that the Spirit here is something like water pushing up against the wall of a dam. And the water's rising. And the pressure's building. And it's just waiting to be unleashed. To do damage. So for our homework, maybe two things. One is to go on our website. On the bottom of the website, there'll be a little banner that I don't know what it's going to say or what it's going to look like, but something with spiritual gifts. I want you to click on it, and it's going to direct you to just a short little brochure just to help us to start learning of what spiritual gifts are, charisms, and to help us understand the importance of discerning that of what ours are, the difference between what a charism is versus just a talent. So I'd ask that you visit that on the bottom of our homepage on their website. And secondly, I just ask that all of us this week spend time, maybe every day this week, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what my spiritual gifts are, to help me discern them. As God has created us and He's given us specific gifts for this specific time at this specific place to use and to be made aware of. So I'd ask us now, maybe if we could just close our eyes, and I just want to invite you, if you're able, to repeat these words in your heart, not out loud, but just in the quiet of your hearts, to repeat these words, especially the most ancient prayer in the church that's been prayed for 2,000 years. If you close your eyes and repeat these words in your heart, if you're able. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I ask that you come into my life. Help me to know the spiritual gifts that you have given me. I ask that you take possession of my life this morning. Come, Holy Spirit.